Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm sure you are all losing weight, working out, stretching those tendons, doing all the things that people do when they're interested in their health. And in that it's the second week since the year turned, 2016, and I know you're ready for information. I'm going to pound it in today. We have a complicated topic, an important topic, a topic that all people brush with on one level or another. It's a topic I'm always dealing with. I'm always seeing it happen, and it's breast cancer. Breast cancer, what to do about it and how to prevent it. I have a perspective. I have insights I think you don't hear too often. As always, you're going to have to integrate the concepts to get the microscopic and the macroscopic version of what to do not to get this. Cancer. Not just breast cancer, but all cancers have causes that begin long before they differentiate into the cancer that you're concerned with. You have to understand the basic model, so that if it's not your breast, it's someone else's prostate or lung or colon or brain or pancreas or stomach or intestinal cancer. You got to get the basic model, the model that all pathologists, if you sat them down, perhaps after hours, would more or less agree with. The basic model behind cancer begins with a healthy human cell. So let's start there. We'll lay down the basic model, then we'll apply it to the breast. And then you'll see what integration can bring you, confidence in your journey to prevent or to resolve a cancer issue. As always, you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. Go to the show. Show 242. Now let's take a look at this. Picture number 27. Show 242. Picture 27. Let's look at a normal human cell. So let's begin with a normal human cell. You imagine a normal human cell. Those of you who have listened to the show in the past, as many of you listening today have seen pictures like this before. And all those different colored things there on picture number 27. All those different colored parts of the cell are organelles. They're little factories within the basic unit of life, the human cell. Picture that as your breast cell or your prostate cell or your brain cell. Each of those colored little factories we're not going to get into today. Understand they have a job to do, and if they function normally, optimally, well, you get a maximum return for a minimal investment. And that's what you call health. You put in a little bit to the engine and you get a lot out. That's called efficiency. Well, that's cell. What will someday, unfortunately, become a cancer cell is still subject to those laws, maximal efficiency. Now, let's break down the efficiency of this cell. To do that, I want to give you, I guess we could sum it up as picture number 40. Go to picture number 40. You know, you've seen this one before. That's a cell attacked by free radicals. Those of you who have listened to a few shows are quite familiar with this word. If not, free radicals are simply compounds that our bodies generate sometimes naturally, but that come in from the outside. And they're aggressive in that they're electron deficient in their outer level, their valence level. So they're hungry scavenger cells looking to satisfy their valence is by chipping off an electron from some other tissue, usually healthy tissue. Healthy tissue, the last place which you want somebody pecking away at. Now, there's a picture of a cell attacked by free radicals, meaning that shriveled membrane of the cell, the cell membrane on this picture here, cell attacked by free radicals, picture number 40, you can see that membrane starting to shrivel. And what you want to understand then is that this is the first step towards cancer. That while you're playing around with biopsies and should you or should you not do chemo, should you do radiation, should you cut it out, should you do radiation or chemo and then cut it out, and all of this, long before this started, you had a healthy cell, and long before anybody ever thought about cancer, that membrane started to succumb to the attack. Now, there's no cancer that doesn't start that way. And as much as you can never say never, that statement's very solid. The breakdown of that cell, making it barely resistant to cancer, and let's define that later, begins with these attacks. So there's a cell attacked by free radicals. If those free radicals, now go to picture 39, again, we're laying the basic foundation through which your breast will become cancerous if it does or did. And we can apply this model to any cancer. And while you're going to hear, well, no, you see, breast cancer is not brain cancer, is not pancreatic cancer, is not colon cancer, is not prostate cancer. While these things are true, you have to have enough education to understand the context in which these statements are made. Therefore, you can certainly understand, I oblige you to understand, that all cancers begin the same way. You have to understand the context of that statement, or you're going to be John Q. Public that suffers from their lack of knowledge, which is you're going to think, well, everybody's telling me something different about cancer. No. It's a matter of understanding what's behind the statement so you can integrate and interpret. You put 100 pathologists, oncological pathologists inside a room and lay out what I'm explaining right now, and none of them will disagree. This is not rocket science. This is basic mechanism behind all oncogenesis. So these free radicals, if they're oxygen mediated, meaning if that which is looking to pick a piece of your membrane off is oxygen instead of chlorine or fluorine, we call it oxidative stress. So looking here now, Happy New Year. Looking here now at picture 39, causes of oxidative stress. You can sum it up as all the bad things. So we can give your brain a break now. And just sum it up as all bad things. All bad things create free radical damage and oxidative stress. Bad diet, medications, air and water pollutants, McDonald's, emotional stress, lack of good nutrition, inadequate amounts of physical activity, too much physical activity, contaminants, inadequate intake of fruits and vegetables because they are what? Your antioxidants, right? The concept behind the antioxidant is before too many free radicals can damage you, neutralize them with antioxidants. Antioxidants lend the electron to the free radical that it would otherwise take out of your brain or something. And of course, we've got controversy about that now. Going to definitely do a show on this eventually. The notion that too much of an antioxidant is no good because it neutralizes free radicals that your body actually needs. This is out there, and there's decent science behind it, and it's something to consider. How something to consider, we'll see. I don't really know the answer at this point, but I will put my snooter into it, and I am sure I'll come up with a very reasonable perception of just what that means. So, free radical stress, its subset, oxidative stress, banging away at the membrane of your cell, making it old, What are those free radicals hitting the breast? What are those free radicals hitting the brain, hitting the pancreas, hitting the colon, hitting the lung, hitting the marrow of the bone? Well, there they are. Smoking, alcohol, pesticides, toxins, contaminants, free radicals generated from exercise, emotional stress. Emotional stress is big, big, big with cancer. So I'm going to slip in something here they didn't put on this list. Sympathetic dominance. We're going to get to that later. Do you really understand what that means? I implore you, I beseech you in 2016 to make it your mandate to understand what sympathetic dominance means. I never see a person with cancer. And never say never, right? Rarely. That has not been shell-shocked through stress. I rarely see that. Sometimes you do, but I can say after 24 years, rarely do I see it. Usually I see two things happen behind cancer. Almost something like post-traumatic stress syndrome. Levels of stress, so stressful you don't even realize you're in shock. An interruption of sleep patterns. If I was going to put the pathogenesis of cancer on the back of two things, something you always see. I guarantee you, putting any half-conscious oncologist in a room, having him sit down if he did ever take the time to get to know the patient he was supervising, would tell you that behind the presence of cancer is usually one, if not two, variables. Interrupted sleep patterns, long-term interruption of that straight 6 to 8 hours of sleep, combined with some sort of emotional, chronic, consistent trauma. In other words, in the words of Hans Selye, right, The Stress of Life, a book you should all read, a book you should use almost as a Bible, explaining how that stress polarizes the autonomic nervous system, keeps you sympathetic dominant, and makes sure your immune system wouldn't know a cancer cell from a healthy cell. But that's a side note. Causes of oxidative stress, throw it in there. Imbalance through the autonomic nerves. And do you know what that means? And do you know what to do about it? Any one of my 240 shows or so, get involved this way. Not going to get into it today. So there we have that membrane being attacked for all these reasons and starting to shrivel. Now the immune system will begin to see that because the guts of the cell, the cytoplasm, will begin to leak through the membrane, and that dysregulation in the membrane will trigger a response through the immune system. Now go to picture number 37. There's picture 37. Well, that's how important this is. The minute the immune system begins to respond to the free radical chronic sustained attack on your cell. So think of your breast cell, your brain cell, any cell. The immune system begins to initiate a sequence of complicated events called the inflammatory response. And here it is, cover of Time magazine. The surprising link between inflammation and heart attacks. This is just a few years ago. Yes, 2004. I will qualify that as a few years ago. Just 10 years ago? The cover of Time magazine. The surprising link? Are you kidding me? This is a surprise? So I'm not overstating this. I'm really not overstating this. I'm not being sensational. I'm asking you, why? Why could we possibly be surprised by the link between inflammation and the presentation of disease, including cancer, Alzheimer's, heart attacks? You have to understand how deep the significance of this runs. When each year you pay good money into some form of health protection, in the interest of determining whether or not you've got cancer, you're likely to get cancer, you're going to get cancer, what to do about it after you've had cancer or any other disease. And the bare bottom line is, as this article is stating here, long before you get it, your inflammatory markers are going through the roof. All the indices that you can use to determine what your inflammatory state really lives within, and all the things you can do about it, and we'll get to that later, is really your safeguard and your protection. And it's really your therapy. If you've had breast cancer and you've done the classic oncological process, let's just say it was a simple one, and they just took a lump out of the breast, and you've done your radiation, or you've done your chemo, or you've done what they told you you were supposed to do, and you're interested in not getting it again, and we all know it can occur again, because that's why you're canceled when you have a lumpectomy, to actually do the full mastectomy, if not take both breasts, and I kid you not, take both ovaries if you're postmenopausal. You'll still be told cost-benefit, it's the smart thing to do. That is still stated in the United States of America today, especially if you have an estrogen-receptive breast cancer. You're going to be told, if you really want to do this right, on top of tamoxifen, simply take the ovaries. Now, the gravity of my statement here about inflammation, the secret killer, thus this article in Time, not that I could care less about Time magazine, but just to, so you can actually see now, okay? You can actually see how this is on the tip of everybody's tongue, that long before a cell gets cancerous, it begins to degrade through an inflammatory cycle. That is where your interest should be if you have any interest in preventing cancer. Let's continue. Picture 38. Inflammation is the activation of the immune system in response to infection, irritation, or injury. Decent. A bunch of blood cells come in, and this is how we classically understand inflammation. Redness, heat, swelling, pain. We're not talking about this. This is a ludicrous statement here as it applies to the real understanding of inflammation. This is acute inflammation. And yes, this is true. We're not talking about that. Cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all these different diseases do not begin with acute inflammation. They are the cells succumbing to chronic inflammation. It's a cellular adaptation to chronic inflammation. The long-term effect of these stressors to the cell. Your job is to identify those stressors before the cell begins to have an adaptive response. Your job is to profile your health. Use my 240 shows to profile your health and begin to eliminate those pro-inflammatory mediators in some hierarchical order based upon your understanding of how it relates to you or your healthcare practitioner's understanding of how it relates to you, including your medical doctor. So we're laying down a framework here, a foundation through which you can interpret and understand the pathogenesis of your cancer. How did you get it, you say? That's what everyone says. I never saw this coming. How could this happen? We want to give you a framework now. And there are parameters. There are profiles. There's tons of stuff out there that you can investigate in a real way. And of course, in the tip of your tongue is, well, which one should I choose? How do I approach this? There are so many contradictory perceptions of how to go about this. No, there aren't. There really aren't. And this is my point. If you're listening to this show today and you do not have a subscription, I implore you to get one. It's pennies on the dollar. What this show has cost me relative to what I charge for those subscriptions is nothing. You have for pennies on the dollar. Use these shows or don't use these shows, but get educated. Because then you'll see people are not. Healthcare practitioners are not contradicting each other. It's only you don't understand what they're saying yet. And what this basically means is to facilitate to navigate your health into this next half of the 21st century, you're going to have to change the bar on your education level. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, which one of us, who of us needed to master the computer? Who? 150 years ago, which one of us needed to learn to drive a car? Society changes, and it places responsibilities and educational priorities that formerly didn't exist and then are absolutely vital to the survival of the organism. Get by in LA without knowing how to drive. This is what I'm saying about education. You have to deepen the understanding. So let's continue to deepen our understanding. I set you up for something here. Let's come to a word called apoptosis. Go up to picture number 17. Picture 17. Picture 17, apoptosis, programmed cell death. Apoptosis versus another word I want to acquaint you with. Some of you know this already. Senescence. Go to picture 19. Senescent. Apoptotic, senescent, and malignant. Apoptotic or apoptosis, senescence, and malignant. When your cell is attacked enough by enough free radicals and you initiate in that breast or wherever an inflammatory response, your cell's going to respond in one of three ways. It's going to become apoptotic, meaning it's going to decide to kill itself. Or it's going to become senescent, meaning whatever its job was, it no longer takes responsibility for. If it was supposed to put out a hormone, if it was supposed to contract a muscle, if it was supposed to contract a muscle called your heart, if it was supposed to transmit information as up in the brain, it doesn't work anymore. It becomes senile. That man is senescent. That man is senile. That man is apoptotic. That man is going to kill himself. Or choice number three, malignancy. In response to chronic sustained free radical damage, oxidative stress, your cells will eventually kill themselves, apoptotic, become useless, senescent, or they will try to rebirth themselves. And this is what we call malignancy. They're tired of the intercellular space. And in their fatigue and in their desperation, they go into their cell cycle, into the DNA, and they alter the replication pattern inside the DNA. So a cell that normally doesn't divide and multiply begins to divide and multiply as a last-ditch effort to survive on into the next century. Now there's a spin on malignancy, huh? In all three cases, apoptotic, senescent, or malignant, those three responses are in response to the desperate state of affairs in between the cells. Both the cell and the space in between the cells has become deformed. And it leaves your cell no choice but at some point to choose any one of those three routes. And we say then, your disease, your symptomology is an adaptation to the restrictions that you have placed upon it. Not that it's your fault, that the ecosystem, the lifestyle has placed upon it. There is a lot of science in the statement. Now, when they bring in the genetics, and I'm going to come back to this later, and they say, oh, this is nonsense. When the man in white sits there and crosses his arms and looks down at you and says, this is nonsense. There's no science behind this. There's nothing in the literature that I've ever read that linked chronic stress or coffee drinking or breathing bad air at the Long Beach port or taking too many pesticide-ridden cola drinks. There's nothing I've read Let me tell you, it's the BRCA25 gene that caused this. And you get fickle about it. You hear that and you say, well, now I'm really confused. This article says this and this article says that. Let me make it easy for you. Because that's what the show's about, integration. This show, as anybody knows, all over the world, all over the United States, listens to this show regularly, especially you subscribers. By the way, I'm going to be starting another show fairly soon where I'm taking all my subscribers. We're going to put them into a closed circuit question and answer situation. This isn't going to be terrestrial radio. I'm going to take all my subscribers and we're going to create different types of forums. I'm going to create a club this year, 2016. This is my gift to you and to me. So that once I know you're a subscriber, once I know you actually have some basic knowledge, we can talk on other levels. So look forward to that sometime between now and April. But those of you who listen to the show regularly, you understand the power of integration. And here's a classic example. When you're told all of this holistic stuff is nonsense and it's about your genes, understand what we're describing here. Oxidative free radical stress, creating an inflammatory response, resulting in the deposition of massive amounts of fibrin to clog up the intercellular space, the extracellular matrix, leaving the cell with no choice but to push itself towards an apoptotic, malignant, or senescent state. You may have a gene that will predispose your cell under these conditions to a genetic event initiating a malignancy. Correct. There can be a genetic aspect to the pathogenesis or the emergence of a malignancy. Those people that say there are genetic factors, they are completely correct. But you see what they leave out, what perhaps they didn't tell Anjali, what they don't tell people who are positive for the BRCA25, or any other of these genetic markers they're using. You'll see more and more of this happening as we're genetically profiled. What they're leaving out of the fray is that there are epigenetic factors, that there's a relationship between other genes and the mother gene before a cancer is triggered. And those epigenes may, not always, may well be under your control. That ecosystem in between the cells, that chronic inflammatory stress may trigger an epigene, and that epigene may trigger the mother gene, and that mother gene is where your genetic predisposition is. So when they tell you it's genetic, you have a genetic predisposition, sure you do. You may well. Your genetic testing may tell you you've got a predisposition, but it doesn't mean that predisposition is not in response to many other factors that you have control over. And that's a distinction you have to understand. Okay. Told you. Got to put the thinking cap on today. But you can always purchase the website, purchase the shows, and listen again and again and again. And a lot of people do. A lot of people will listen to one show three or four times. But think of the power behind this. Think of the power behind combining the essences in an integrated, intelligent form, streamlined into a language that you can understand, and then broadcast across the world because of something called the internet. So that you can subject everything I'm saying to your IQ and your experience and your research and everybody else's. And that's what I ask you to do. Use the show as a catalyst for your own inquiry so you can make intelligent decisions. because not enough of us are doing that. Make that your 2016. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Let's bring in another word. Go down to picture number 25. Picture 25. The extracellular matrix. The area between the cells. That's all I want you to know. The area between the cells, very, very important in terms of understanding your breast cancer. Now go to picture 26. The components of the extracellular matrix, the components. In a normal space in between your cells, in between your breast cells, your prostate cells, your brain cells, your liver cells, your kidney cells, in between the cells of your bone marrow, in between the cells of your skin. There's always space. That space is called the extracellular matrix, the ECM. There are things in it other than water. And those things are glycoproteins, proteoglycans, fibronectins, cross-linked fibers of collagen, so on and so forth. All three of these are common ECM glycoproteins. There's stuff there. What there's not a lot of is picture 34. Go to picture 34. There's not a lot of fibrin. There's picture 34 fibrin. Now that's in between red blood cells. Picture number 33. Adhesion molecules in the extracellular matrix. The extracellular matrix influences cell migration, cell shape, cell genetic expression, and cell differentiation. This is a little blurb from an article that basically says that those spaces in between the cells and what's in them control the cells. Now, you've heard this before from me. But what you've got to understand is those free radicals, the oxidative stress, the degradation to the membrane, the spilling of the inside of the breast cell into the extracellular matrix, initiates an inflammatory response, and a cell of the immune system called a fibroblast comes in and spins down the fibrin web. It throws a lot of fibrinous goo in between the cells. Fibrinous goo in between the cells. Let's take a look at some of this fibrinous goo in between the cells. Let's go to picture number 32. Picture number 32, if you want to know what goo looks like between the cells. Those blue things are the cells, and in between it are big strands of goo. G-O-O, very scientific word here. Sludge, goo, garbage, stuff that's not supposed to be there. Stuff that's in response to the inflammatory cascade. Stuff that's in response for all the mediators of inflammation. So when Time Magazine says inflammation, the surprising link between inflammation and cancer and heart disease and this and that and the other thing, how could anybody be surprised? The truth is no one is surprised. The truth is if the medical model were correct, we'd be paying 5% of what we're paying because the public would be told to clean this space and to use markers to determine that these spaces are clean. Why do you think you're cleansing? Why are you doing fibrinolytic herbs? Why are you doing natto? Why are you doing curcumin? Why are you doing serratiopeptidase? Why are you doing bromelain? Why are you doing papain? And again, let me make it a little more complicated. If you're doing those things, you better be able to determine whether or not they're working in your body. Because if you're going to reduce this show to simply, yeah, I get it, Nadiji, I get it. Clean those spaces. So let me chow down those herbs. And you just do that blindly and mechanistically and then pat yourself on the back because the job's been done. Forget it. You've missed the point. You can't be an actor just reading the lines of a script. You have to be inhabiting the part. You can't be a dancer simply moving their feet to the choreographer's wish. You have to inhabit the motion. And it's the same thing with this. You have to determine whether or not, in response to all the good things you do for your health, whether your body is softening, physically softening, emotionally softening, spiritually softening, letting go of its rigidity in a way that's measurable. When you touch somebody in a way that's measurable, when you stretch somebody in a way that's measurable, when you peel their muscle off their bone, in a way that's measurable, when you watch them day to day work through the stresses of their life. The real indice through which you can determine whether or not you're cleaning your extracellular matrix is in those things I just said. It's in your flexibility, not just in your body, but in the way you meet your world. And when people do this, you can see it. And when people begin to heal from disease, you can see it. The body is equipped with all the ingredients to create healing. And you can see it when it happens. And when it happens, a person is always softening. So it's not just the mechanism of ingesting nutrition and herbs and sorts of things that they tell you work. It's not just doing cleanses and detoxifications blindly. It's observing response. And if you're not seeing response, you have to go to the blackboard, lay it all down, and strategize and think and navigate yourself and assume responsibility and take counsel. And if you've got that down, then you can integrate the counsel. You can integrate the counsel from the oncologist telling you cut that tumor out all the way to your yoga teacher telling you stretch more. Then you can integrate, and nobody's contradicting themselves, and everybody has good intention, and everybody just wants to participate. And that's the truth. Most people in allopathic medicine, with few exceptions, are good people doing what they think is best for you. And whether that individual is telling you to cut off both breasts and take out both ovaries, deep down inside, most of the time, there are exceptions, but there are exceptions to everything. Most of the time, your oncologists are doing what they consider standard medicine and doing things and executing as they feel is best for your health. And it's the same thing on every level. But the only solution to the disparity, to the dissension between the advice you get, is to get an understanding. Okay. So there's that gooey, ooey extracellular matrix. Now, what does that mean to your breast? So there's the foundation. I've laid down a foundation for you, a way to understand any cancer, including your genetic tendency. Now let's look at the breast. Go to picture number one. Let's start with picture one. Now there's, I like picture. Go to picture number three. Picture number three. There's the breast. The breast has a lot of fat. That's a big deal. Fat is a big deal because most of your carcinogens are lipophilic. One of the reasons you see a lot of cancer in the breast, got to get that mute button working. There, that breast. Picture number three. The fat in the breast, that is lipophilic. Most of your carcinogens are lipophilic, meaning you can mix them into the fat of the breast. Meaning when you're talking about a cancer and you're talking about a carcinogen, the breast stored it because the breast is made of fat. Very important. Then you break the rest of it down to two things, the glandular tissue, the epithelial tissue of the gland, and the duct. So we say intraductal carcinoma, meaning the ducts are cells, and those cells began to multiply out of control. Intraductal carcinoma or adenocarcinoma in the gland. So the cancer is in the gland or in the duct. But what's supplying it with the carcinogen? Where is the free radical? What does the oxidative free radical stress derive from? Well, often it's stored in the fat. key. Now, you've heard the expression that we make thousands and thousands of cancer cells every day. You've all heard that expression. Look it up. In any given day, we're making hundreds and thousands of cancer cells. Many people have blurbed this, and not off one article, off many articles. It's actually a standard perception in oncology, in pathology. Your body's generating free radicals, your body's taking in free radicals, and your body's generating cancer cells each day. And in the breast, we have been given a massive set of lymph nodes, the axillary lymph nodes. So I want you to stay on picture three. Look at all those to the left under the armpit. Look at all those lymph nodes, those green things. It is the lymph that is draining the extracellular matrix. It is the lymph that's draining the extracellular matrix. There's something very specific about the breast in middle-aged women where we see these pathologies develop. There's something about the breast in middle-aged women that influences the advent of cancer, that shuts down lymph drainage, that needs to be understood. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to show, I implore you to just take your hand and put it over your head and take your other hand and put it underneath your pectoral muscles. I'm talking about underneath your pectoral muscles. So ladies, go up the arm on your head, take the other arm, go into the armpit, slide on towards the breast, under the fat of the breast, go under the breast and feel the fibers there. Feel the fibrousness of that tissue. Feel the fibrousness of the pectoralis minor, a muscle you're going to see in a moment that ensures you, by the time you're 50 years old, that your lymph will not drain your breast. And that will help create in a significant way an ecosystem, a condition in the extracellular matrix that will add to the issue, that will enhance the rate, or I should say will slow down the rate at which those poisons trapped in the fat of the breast are drained from it and away from your glandular tissue. So do that again. Take your hand, put it on your head, take your other hand, go up underneath the breast tissue so you can start in the armpit and just come medially underneath the muscle and feel how fibrous those muscles are. Feel how sensitive those muscles are. Now take a look at those muscles. What I want you to do is go to picture number six. Go to picture six, and you're looking at the pectoralis minor. It goes from the shoulder blade to the rib cage. Now lay your breast on top of that. And understand, when that muscle gets tight, your shoulders roll forward. Understand, when the pectoralis muscles get tight, and who are they going to get tight with? Well, those of you who are full-bodied, understand the weight that that breast puts on your shoulder. It is the shortening. It is the shortening for us all, men and women, natural or imposed by occupational stress that shortens the pectoralis minor, that rotates the shoulders around and crushes the lymphatic sites in the armpit of the breast. This is significant. This isn't a small thing. This is a big thing. Another big thing is fibrous breasts. They will tell you fibrocystic disease is not related to cancer. You see, there's something fishy about that statement, because cysts in the breast imply congestion, and congestion is always the foundation upon which you create a malignancy. And what they're leaving out is this distinction between a fibrocystic breast and a breast that's just fibrous. A breast can be congested. A breast can be fibrous. A breast can be painful. The armpit can hurt when you palpate it. All of these things can be true, but your breasts don't feel like a bunch of marbles. And because your breast still, despite this congestion, despite the gross lymphatic stagnation, despite the internal rotation of the shoulders, despite the shortening of the pec minor, despite the clenching of the jaw, despite the anterior head carriage, despite sitting at a computer all day and growling because you're miserable with your job, despite all of these stressors to the upper body, despite all of that, the breast may not be marbles. And if the breast is not a bunch of marbles, you will be told that is not fibrocystic disease. And the truth is, it's semantics at this point. We're playing with words, and we shouldn't be playing with words. If you can't grab that breast of yours with your arms over your head and feel the same texture to the tissue that you had when you were 16 years old, something's run amok. You want a marker? You want a way to make sure you minimize that terrible event? Keep those breasts the way those breasts were when you were 16 years old. And if they're not like that, if they're congested, if they hurt, and so on and so forth, condition that body until you feel a significant change in the texture of that breast tissue. So look at pec minor as one cause. Now go to picture number 11. Picture number 11. Look at that anterior head carriage. Now go to picture number 13. Go to picture 13. Look at a normal posture and look at all those other postures. Every other posture, this is picture 13, is another form, or it's another aberration. It's a structural aberration that will make the lymphatic drainage through the armpit and leave the breast more tenuous. So when those pesticides and those free radical chemicals build up in the fat of the breast, leaking at a low or high grade rate, carcinogens into the extracellular matrix build up, create an inflammatory response, and fail to be drained out by an optimally functioning lymphatic system because of the structural and, let's add, emotional deficits, you ultimately surround your breast cells, whether it's the cells in between the ducts, whether it's the cells in between the glands, you will ultimately leave those spaces so concentrated like a swamp of garbage that finally the cell will go apoptotic, it will go senescent, or it will go malignant. Now there's a model, and take a look at that structural model. That structural model is massive. And take a look at my advice to you, that if you decide to do something about it, built in to whatever therapy you choose is a marker. So you can walk down the street to your local massage therapist. You can walk down the street to your local chiropractor. You can go to your local nutritionist. You can go wherever you want to go. But one thing you're going to need is the experience through which the tension level and the texture of the breast tissue changes back to the way it was when you were a teenager. Now that's empirical. You see, we don't have enough studies done to determine whether or not changing a lumpy older breast back into a youthful, smooth, non-fibrous tissue is a marker for health. But empirically, if you take all the people who have ever done anything about their health in a holistic sense, and you watch them in testimonies, you watch them change their diet, you watch them change their psyche, you watch them do multitudes of cleansing, you watch them participate in the orchestra we call holistic health, I guarantee you, unequivocally, you will go into the tissue and find the tissue has softened, it is sweetened, and it has become filled with light once again. It will become youthful. There is no one who has ever gone through one of these processes that would not agree with me. So you have to respect empiricism here. Empiricism may not have a double-blind placebo study, or it may. But often, empiricism is simply a branch of science, and many drugs are released onto the market today derived from pharmaceutical industries that are only understood empirically, meaning you give them to somebody and this is what happens. And we don't know why it happens. In other words, we don't have the mechanism understood. We just know it works. I'm telling you this. This works for your health. To become more healthy when you have disease is to soften the body, is to fill the body with the experience of light. And it will allow an environment for that body to begin to take care of its disease. So no one cures you, no herb cures you, no therapy cures you, but your application to natural law as it relates to your health is what cures you. Your body cures you. Initiate the healing mechanisms and let the mechanisms in your body take care of that. As long as we have a United States Constitution in order, we will be protected in our right to pursue our health the way we want to pursue it. As long as that Constitution is not amended behind our backs. Okay, moving right along. Herbs out there, things you can take. Well, look at picture 47. Herbs for cancer. Look at picture 47. Fibrinolytic herbs for modern chronic disease and herbs for cancer. Now, I want you to understand the issue here. If you have cancer, if you have breast cancer, my advice to you, if you have a lump in the breast, my advice to you is get the lump cut out. That's right. I think it is ludicrous when you have a growing lump in your breast to keep that lump there and do the holistic thing. I think it's ludicrous, and that's another show we're not going to have today. And my advice to you is get it cut out. Now, your decision after that to do radiation or to do chemotherapy, that decision is your decision. I want you to ask your oncologist for either research, articles, testimony proving that that chemo, after that breast has been cut, if that chemo is effective or if that radiation is effective, some model, and you make your choice. But let me tell you this, even if the breast has been cut, even if you've had a mastectomy, you still have a concern, and we know what that concern is. That concern is the issue of metastasis. And now you have to go back to that model. Because whether you metastasize next year or the year after, whatever's gone through, and something always sneaks through, whatever's leaked through into the bloodstream that's circulating looking for a place is going into that same extracellular matrix and looking for an environment where it can wedge itself in, surround itself in a biofilm, in a fibrin web, and begin its biggie into a larger form of a tumor that will either be not seen by the immune system or ineffectively attacked by the immune system. So you have to have a model here to prevent it from coming back. You have to have a model here to prevent it from occurring in the first place and not falling for the sucker punch of, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And if it's in your genes, if you're BRCA25 positive, then think about a mastectomy before it happens, especially if it's in your family and your mother had it. You have to understand the foundation so that you can take action. And in that concept, in that respect, to take plants that eat fibrin, that are fibrinolytic, makes good sense. But again, I want to emphasize, if you reduce this statement simply to taking the herbs, and yes, I took the herbs and now I'm protected, you are insane. You have to use the herbs. You have to use the herbs as a means of strengthening your hand or making your health portfolio, your health profile, stronger and more in the interest of health than in disease. That is how you use an herb. And that's very distinct from saying, I take notokinase, or I take proteolytic enzymes, or I take curcumin, I take antioxidants. Gee, Fred, I do all these things. I don't understand why I got cancer. Don't do that. that aside, integrated into the profile of your health, look for those fibrinolytic herbs. And that's a big deal. Nattokinase, serratiopeptidase, curcumin, pancreatic enzymes, all of these things break down fibrin. You want that. Look into those herbs. And what should they give you in conjunction with the flushes? So I realize at this point now, everybody's happy that we've laid down the picture. And especially if you're new to the show, you're sitting there and you're saying, but now what do I do? But what do I do? But he didn't tell me what to do. What he told you to do is think. And you don't get a cookbook recipe. Most importantly, what I told you to do is use all the indices of health, from better sleep to the flushes to the herbs to the thoughts to the stretches, and determine the efficacy of the time, money, and energy you put into your health by how much the body softens. Turn that breast into a youthful breast. Stretch out that pec minor until you can feel the circulation under the armpit and the tissues draining, if not just for there, but through your whole body. You can determine the return on your investment by how the body softens as you change its structure through all the structural modalities that I am forever obliging you to participate in on this show. You're combining your work biochemically to make structural changes to render your body soft and pliant like it used to be. And that is your best hedge against disease. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Think about the show, integrate it into my other shows, and have a good week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.